From the heart of Montana, this is Big Sky, Small World, Carroll College's student podcast.
Big Sky, Small World, I can mountain high Montana. Took it to the big sky.
I'm here with Dan Case and Rachel Martin, who were instrumental in this year's, now what are we calling it? It's the Mountain Moodle Moot.
Just the Mountain Moot.
Mountain Moot. Mountain Moodle's Moot. Out. Moodle's okay. Out.
Because okay. We do, I mean, there's a focus on Moodle, and that's the LMS we happen to run here. Yeah. But there's a lot of instructional design sessions and some general ed tech sessions as
that's
well.
That's true.
So even if you don't run Moodle, I would like to believe there's something you can get out of the conference.
Yeah. That makes sense. And yeah, because there were sessions on non-Moodle LMSs, like you said. So.
And we kind of made an effort to make sure there were sessions because with Idaho moving LMSs, state of Montana moving LMSs, trying to make it more applicable.
And my interest is always like, what can our faculty members get out of it? So we have at least three different audiences that come to the Moot in terms of people that are teaching, people that are developing, people who are admining systems.
Right.
And for the admin and for the developers, the Moodle angle is really important. But if you're teaching, good instructional design and a lot of these practices are very portable.
Yeah, that makes sense. And so someone who doesn't operate in a particular LMS could still get something out of a session?
Not every session, but we try to have at least one going every hour, yeah.
Okay, very good. I noticed this year you had a presenter who was non-academic.
Sean Courtney.
Sean Courtney. Sean did that. Is that the first time you've had like that? No, it's not.
We're shaking our heads. That's such bad podcast
that's
etiquette.
Okay. I was helping you out.
So we've had a lot of businesses because at the end of the day, Moodle or an LMS is used for education. It's also used for training and certifications.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, the training aspect's always been around.
Yeah, and so we have a lot of people from the state who've been a major part of this conference for over the last number of years. Do all kind of trading certifications. And I think that's kind of what Sean was talking about, how Dick Anderson does that. We've also had truck driving schools, the Wyoming Highway Patrol. We've had a real estate agent from Louisiana. So everybody needs to do some kind of training or certification.
Okay. Very good. Very good. So what would you say the proportion is of like education versus non-education? Is
it 50-50? I crunched a lot of numbers and I didn't do that one.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Actually, majority education.
Yeah, I would say probably 70% education. 70.
Okay.
And then we have maybe 20% or 15% that is government.
Oh, okay.
And then there's a few.
10 to 15.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
there
are some schools that, I mean, just because you're an educational institution, you may also be using Moodle for your staff training.
Yeah, that's true.
Whether you're using it to deliver content to credit-bearing classes to students who are enrolled in a degree, or I know some schools use it in a separate way for, like, their continuing ed offerings, or some places use it in a separate way for, like, their human resources offerings.
That makes sense. So it's not always just one or the other. Okay. Has that changed over time? Do you see a trend one way or the other? Did you start with education and then it's grown outside of that, or has it always been this way?
When we started this conference 14 years ago, you have to look at the timeline. It was 2010 or something. So the LMS was just kind of getting off the ground. Moodle had only been around for a few years at that point. And I think as the need has accelerated for people to be certified or to validate whatever they need to validate, I think that area has grown significantly, and I think that the vendors will probably tell you the same thing. And in fact, Moodle Workplace, correct me if I'm wrong here, is focused kind of in that area.
Yeah, it is. I was thinking of that as well. I mean, during the COVID era, there was definitely kind of an explosion of a lot of different products for this and then a narrowing in. So it's an advantage to organizations if you don't have different systems for your various aspects, but then I think there's a lot of legacy involved in that. Where do you keep your records? How do you track your records? What are people used to delivering in, and what do they need to redesign?
You mentioned 14 years ago. I wouldn't have guessed 14. I would have said 8 or something like that. Because I've been here at Carroll for 16 years. So it was right when I got here practically that you started 2010. So this was the 14th one. How did it start?
Well, back in the 2008, we didn't have an LMS here at Carroll. We just had a, I was doing the website, and we needed something to kind of augment courses.
That's right. Yeah.
And so I created a bulletin board system, and it's, you know, remedial kind of a posting board. And I knew that we needed to do something different. And so Idaho State had just written a white paper where they had gone through and compared a couple of LMSs. And I was looking at Instructure at the time, which was open source back in the day, as well as Moodle. And so I called up Idaho State and said, hey, you've done this thing. Do you mind if I come down? I got a couple of faculty. We went down there, we talked to them, went through it. I thought, okay, this would be a good thing for us. We installed it. I was still doing all the AV technology on campus. Moodle took off, which is the way it should be, right?
Yeah.
So I had a lot of faculty coming to my door saying, hey, Dan, can Moodle do this? Can Moodle do that? I want to do this with the gradebook. I want to change this. I want to do that with quizzes. And I knew that it could do it, but I didn't know how. It just wasn't my expertise at the time. And so I knew that we needed to get training for our faculty. And so because of that, I reached out to a company called Remote Learner at the time and said, hey, can you come to Carroll, do a couple of hands-on training in a couple of days? And they said, yeah, no problem. We'll get that together. Went back to Carroll College and said, okay, I've set up this training for our faculty. This is why we need it. This is what it's going to cost. Carroll said, we don't have that money.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so therefore, I still had a problem, obviously. And so I thought, well, maybe I can get him some other way. So what I did is I just invented a conference. I called back the exact same company I just talked to. And I said, hey, I'm doing this conference. Will you come out and be a part of it? And they said, sure, we'll come out. We'll bring some people. We'll do some training. This is going to be great. And I thought, awesome. So I went back to Carroll and I said, hey, I'm going to do this conference. Can you help me support this conference? And the financial director at the time said, okay, here's $650. Go. And so that's kind of how it started.
Wow. How about that? Did you have other vendors in the first year, or was it just about Moodle?
It was just about Moodle and just focused on getting training for the faculty. Okay. So it was
Wasn't even outside people at that point.
Well, it was some outside people. I mean, obviously I had to invite.
But to make it a conference.
But the majority of it was for the conference, the Carroll conference, yes. And so that's kind of how it started. And it's funny, Michelle Moore, who was a part of that Remote Learner way back, this company has since evolved and been purchased and everything else. And she's been coming here for the 14 years, and she was, in fact, here this last year.
So. That's awesome. I didn't know that it started as an end around. That's
awesome. I wasn't trying to start a conference. I was trying to solve a problem.
And now it has its own life of its own. Like, there are lots of people that have been here between, I would say, 8 and 10 times, and yet we still have new people every year. During our opening session this year, Dan asked people to raise their hand if they were new, and I think it was just kind of shocking to look around and be like, oh, maybe a third of the people are new, because it does have this sense of continuity at the same time. But next year is going to be 15. So, anything we can think of to do lists of 15, groups of 15. The look I'm getting right now is fantastic because I'm going to put bling and glitter on everything. We have slightly different expressive styles, but I mean, it's 15. We have to go big.
Yeah. Very good. What's that list of different materials for anniversaries, you know, like one is paper. What's 15? Do you know?
I don't know. Gotta look that up.
Yeah, we should look that up. Yeah, maybe it's something cool. Yeah.
Not everybody's getting diamonds, just in case you're listening.
A real anniversary. That's right. Yeah, that's not for a while. So at that time, when the conference started, there was no Moodle administrator.
Correct.
And who was the first Moodle administrator at Carroll? Was it Ryan?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay, that's Ryan Hazen, who now works for Moodle.
Correct.
And has come to the conference, I'm guessing, every year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you remember what his first year was?
Maybe 2014 around year three or four of the conference.
And he was in that role for a while because I'm really lucky. I'm the third person in that role, I think. So we had a lot of stability and a lot of really good faculty training like coming into this. People are sold on it. People use it. They know how to use it. And so it's really exciting that we can do less basic things with the LMS now. We can build some really cool things with logical conditions, with different features. I mean, we add new plugins every year.
Yeah.
Based on what we find out at the Moot. I think I've got two that are going to come out of this one.
I'm really
excited. Yeah.
Awesome. So what have you noticed as the conference, it's grown. How has it grown?
It's grown substantially. I mean, I think, initially we had just like 40 people at the conference. And then now we bump up. We're about 130 every year. We grew to over 600 during the pandemic when it was online. We offered it for free and we ended up shipping.
That's right.
Shipping little kind of boxes all over the entire world to people who wanted to be part of the online conferences, thanks to the sponsors. In large part, what's happened is the sponsors have really become key to the conference because we try to keep the registration as low as we can to just accommodate everybody. And we also offer on-premise housing in Trinity, which is, again, tries to keep the conference low. But the sponsors have really stepped up in order to give us all of the kind of social events and things that we need to do. So we really appreciate them.
Very good. And those social events, we'll get to those because I attend academic conferences and we never have anything going on like that. It seems like it's more in tech conferences, more maybe a standard thing, but they're really cool. So we didn't talk about those.
And I think I would have had a different answer. My answer would have been that people come in, they get really excited about the conference, and then they're going to come back or they're going to tell their friends. And I think that networking part is, from my impression, how it grows and continues to grow. It doesn't matter how you found your way here. Once you've been here, you're probably coming back.
Yeah, and it's just word of mouth. We don't do any advertising.
I was wondering about that. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
We have a very poorly maintained Twitter, which I can kind of take responsibility for.
Okay. There's a Mountain Moot Twitter. I've never seen it.
Okay. Yeah. You're not the only one.
Very good. Okay. Very good. Let's talk about, and one thing I wanted to mention, that you offer the conference for free for Carroll faculty. Also, you've always done that.
That's been the goal from the very start.
Yeah. Now I'm finding out that that was the original impetus anyway.
The key to why it exists. I mean, we had a substantial number of our faculty here, and there's people that come back every single year. We also had some of our new faculty. I met some of the faculty I'm going to be supporting in the fall for the first time at this conference.
Yeah, and I noticed that as well. That was cool.
I mean, now I know who they are. They know who I am. But more importantly, they met a dozen of their colleagues. Like, that's a good moment for bringing people into the community.
Yeah, that pre-conference workshop session was really good for that, wasn't it? Just to have faculty in the room. Yeah, very good. Okay, so the social events. Let's talk about Mootbox. When did that start? I'm guessing that wasn't around from the beginning.
Correct. It wasn't around from the beginning. It wasn't until maybe 2016, 2017, somewhere in that vicinity, where we kind of started the Mootbox. And it was just a brainstorming session that we were sitting around talking about how we could make the conference more engaging, because we did a lot of ed tech and it was gamification was a big thing, big catchword at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we thought, how can we incorporate that into a conference? And so we came up with the idea of this fake money. And then that kind of was set for a couple of years until we had one person.
There's always one person. We know you're listening. We're sending you this link.
Who kind of figured out some of the system. And around that same time, this would have been about 2018 or 19, when crypto was really kind of coming on the scene as a big thing. And we thought, okay, how can we incorporate this new crypto? And so we added the crypto aspect to the conference, and then we added...
So just to clarify, for people who don't know what Dan's talking about, we have Moot Bucks, which are what you use to win prizes in one of our social events. But you rarely actually earn Moot Bucks at the conference. You earn Moot Coins, and then you have to exchange them. And the exchange rate fluctuates, sometimes wildly, often while you're standing in line. It's chaos, but it's specifically engineered chaos.
And so it's designed as a fix for someone who figured out the Mootbox system, it sounds like.
We have a lot of people come that are good with algorithms. So if we don't put a little bit of chaos in the system, it'll get gamed. But I did actually, so I've been doing this for 3 years now. And my first year, I was like, why are we doing this? Like, gamification needs to be tied to an objective, as far as I'm concerned. Like, if it's supposed to be to increase engagement, great. Why are we messing that up? I realized it's actually a huge part of the like social bonding and how we bring new people in. I watch people, they're standing in line. We have this thing called the bank, which is where you do your conversions. People are standing in line for the bank who have been here for 10 years and are really serious and know what they're doing, right next to someone who's standing there holding these Moot Coins in their hands going, I don't really know why I'm doing this. And then they start talking and then they form alliances and then they know people. And it really drives, I think, a lot of that kind of building of networks within the conference. So it's gamifying, talk to our sponsors, talk to our presenters, ask good questions, but it's also just incentivizing people to interact in a way you don't see. I mean, I go to lots of conferences where I don't
No.
I don't know anyone but the crew I brought with me.
Right. And at those conferences, most of them, at least in my world, the object isn't to bring people together, really. You know, it's almost like everybody's doing their own thing sort of thing. I'm there to present, I'm there to network or whatever, but there's no conference-wide effort to bring people together. So I think that's really cool.
And I think that's why people come back. It's the community. And we've often said that we just provide the venue, and it's the people that make this what it is. And it's that sense of community, the sense of belonging that I just came here for the first time. I don't know anybody. I just flew in from Canada. And yet 3 days later, I've got, 40 good friends.
And it supports not just the social aspect, but Moodle is so customizable. Like, there's always going to be some weird thing that happens in your system 3 months later. And if you have a friend you can WhatsApp, if you know someone who you know is working with that, the ability to solve problems after the conference, I think, is a very significant residual.
Have you found that, Rachel, in your work as Moodle administrator, that you contact people at the conference and say, hey, have you seen this thing?
Absolutely. If I have a question, like whether it's a problem or a build, I have an idea who's probably working on something similar, and I regularly reach out to people that I've met through the conference, depending on their interests and specialty.
That's awesome.
We have a pretty vibrant Slack channel that operates outside.
Oh, really?
Of this. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
So a lot of people on there.
Okay. That's awesome.
I forgot my login.
There's a lot going on up there.
You engage in different ways.
So those were the questions, at least, that I thought through. Is there anything I'm missing about the is it always the same week in July?
Initially, it started off in May. We used to hold it right after school, early May. The weather wasn't so good. Here in Montana. And it was a lot right after school ended. And so we switched it over until July. It was around July, around the 4th of July for a number of weeks, and it kind of moved back. We had the Gifted Institute on campus, and we kind moved it to accommodate, not conflicting with that. It's kind of found a home right here in the mid-July, and this is kind of where it is. It also allows people who travel great distances to experience what Montana has.
That's true.
So a lot of people end up at Glacier or Yellowstone or just touring the state of Montana.
Yeah, Helen is so well positioned for that. You know, you're a day trip to either of those parks. It's a long day, but you can do either of those parks in a day trip, which is amazing from here. That's awesome. Should we do some would you rathers?
Okay.
We'll have you each do one, but you get to choose it. You get to choose which one you want to do.
Oh.
Which one would you rather do?
That's less fun. You got to pick for us.
Should I pick for you? Okay. Mm-hmm. That sounds fine. How about, I'm going to give this one to you, Dan. The top one. Would you rather meet your ancestors 4 generations before you or your descendants 4 generations after? If you could time travel.
I would go with the descendants 4 generations after me.
Rachel, you're nodding. You would
same.
Do the same. Why? So why is that?
It's always for me, it would be satisfying to see like where things are going and how much I could have or could have not had some kind of navigation or direction to point them in that direction.
I think that's the very reason I wouldn't go forward.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. It would give me a lot of anxiety to see, like, do they know me? Did they, am I like, I don't know.
I'm not playing the personal legacy game. I'm just curious. And like, there are ways I can access information about people 4 generations before me. I mean, maybe it would be cool to go like confirm, but I have no way to know 4 generations ahead. Aren't you curious? Don't you want to like,
yeah, there is
see
that.
What's going
the,
on?
Like the ants, like the family would be ancillary to what's the world
what's
like
the world
4 generations
like?
From now. Yeah, I can see that. That's really good. Yeah, I can see that. Are we still around? Is that the human race still.
Can we find this podcast in an internet archive?
That would be interesting. Maybe another reason I wouldn't want to go forward, just to not have that question answered. I don't even know what answer I want. So that's a good one. Okay, how about this one for you, Rachel? Would you rather always watch Hallmark Christmas movies or horror movies?
Okay, I don't have the attention span for movies. So
oh, well, you're not a movie person at all.
Not really.
Okay.
I like dramas, and I mean, I know I can add 3 or 4 of them together and make the same length of a movie, but it just works differently in my head. I'm going to say horror movies, but then spin them to definitely like the sci-fi political version of them. Like think The Expanse. I would watch that forever.
Okay. Very good. What about you, Dan?
I'd be exactly the opposite. I'm all about Christmas and smiling and feeling good. And yeah, horror movies. I watched The Werewolf as a young kid and that did it for me.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. The werewolf one in London, like American Werewolf in London?
No, the old like Lon Chaney, like the old that black one. And white one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't
I've
know
seen
why.
Clips of that.
Yeah, it was, I think in today's terms, the people are like, yeah, whatever. It's not very scary, but
it's like, sign me up for space zombies that, you know, discuss okay. control of natural resources and throw up on you and turn you glowing blue.
You're in for that as a limited series, more than a movie.
Yeah. I mean, the movie was a stumbling block, but.
Okay.
Christmas movies. Come on. How can you not go bad with Hallmark Christmas?
Glowing blue aliens.
Yeah, I can just zone out. I don't have to think. I don't have to learn. I can just enjoy. Yeah.
You can almost write the ending, but yes, you enjoy getting there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mindless. Very good. Well, thank you both for sitting down with me about the Mountain Moot Tech Conference that has been going on since 2010 here at Carroll College. Appreciate both of you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Roland Guyden. I'm from Columbia Theological Seminary in Decatur, Georgia. And I decided to come to the Mountain Moot because this is actually my first time at this particular conference. I usually try to attend a couple of conferences a year. But some of the other conferences that I usually attend were either canceled or they've just stopped, haven't started back up since COVID. I was actually attending the open source conference, and they canceled theirs this year because it was supposed to be this spring in Charlotte. And I was on a support call with one of my OpenLMS support persons. And they had mentioned this particular conference. They were coming to this conference. And so since it still has money in my budget, I decided to go ahead and try this one out. And I'm actually very glad. I think I'll make this part of my rotation of conferences to go to. It's just kind of good to be around other Moodle users. A lot of times, Moodle, even though it's one of the larger LMSs, the most used LMSs, you know, it's because it's really not as commercial. You don't, you know, some of the other ones usually kind of stand out a little bit more as far as conferences and things of that go. And usually when you're at just standard academic conferences, you know, Moodle tends to not be, it's usually not the focus. It's usually Canvas or Blackboard.
So my name is Kimberly Minkler, and I work for Childcare Resources and Childcare Training. We create coursework, develop coursework, and upload coursework using Moodle and OpenLMS for providers. We teach the teachers. And I've only been at my job for just over a year now, and I was the educator prior. And so technology aspect of it and creating online coursework is fairly new to me. I'm great with the content. Mm-hmm. But I've picked up so much this last year, and it's really gotten me excited in what we do. So when we saw this conference, my boss had come to this conference several years ago, and she said she just had such a great time and learned so much about Moodle and about just what we do and how we do it, and got tips and tricks. So she decided she wanted to send me and one of my coworkers here. And I am just loving it. I love the networking. I love meeting people, the fun that we're having, and all the tips and tricks that we're learning. There are some of it that's way above what I am capable of and what I know, but I'm learning and I'm writing notes and I'm meeting some amazing people. And yes, I agree. I would love to make this into my rotation as well, because this is something that I can see either presenting at or learning something new each time. There's going to be different presentations and different sessions, and there's such a variety to learn from.
My name is Erin Butts. I live here in Helena, Montana, and I'm starting my fourth academic year at Carroll College, and I teach in our Master of Social Work program. It's a new Master's of Social Work program, so I got to be part of the startup of it, and it's been quite a journey. Fortunately, Dan Case with Academic Technology here puts on this conference, and I've known of it for quite some time, and starting in my fourth year, our program is also online, and so we use Moodle as a platform. So I just feel really fortunate to be here and to be able to learn. And I think having had the past 3 years getting started with the program and we had to go through our first round of accreditation, I feel like I'm even getting a little bit more than the first time I was able to, just because I've been able to use the technology a little bit. So thank you.
My name's Aubrey Curtis. I am going to be an adjunct professor at Carroll College in the history department, and this is the first foray into teaching. So I found out about this conference through email. I got the email and I thought, well, that'd be interesting to attend, and I want to do some kind of blended format. The course I'll be teaching will be primarily in person, but I think having a technology like Moodle, and I come from a background of Canvas and Blackboard. I've primarily been on the government side, worked for the government, and that's what they typically use. So I was not familiar with Moodle, so I thought this would be a good opportunity to come in and learn a little bit about it.
Okay, hello and welcome. So who would like to get started with talking a little bit about your time at Moodle Conference?
Oh, yeah. This is my first conference to come to.
This is Miles, also my first conference.
Mine as well.
Get out, John.
This is my many. So I'm here at Carroll College, so I get the advantage of seeing it every year. One of the things that I like about it is I'm able to meet people from lots of other places, seeing how they engage and use Moodle or ways that they also don't use Moodle, right? And thinking pedagogically about how they teach their courses.
Are you a professor here?
Yes, I'm a professor of theology.
Okay. Well done.
I am also here at Carroll College, but I don't teach a run-of-the-mill courses like everyone else does. I'm in the music department, and so I rarely end up using Moodle traditionally for a lot of my classes because it's hard to cheat with AI when I'm trying to teach a student how to play a trumpet or a piano. And it's a different concept when I'm trying to teach musical components. So I will rarely use Moodle traditionally for classes like piano or ukulele or pep band or anything. The only way I would use it is in different courses that are required for the minor.
So you don't think you would ever like upload music and say, hey, grab that music that I uploaded into your Moodle.
Oh, absolutely. I will do that. But
as a repository.
I'm looking for other ideas on how to positively use the technology available.
I guess chair tests, they could record.
I've done that with high school students. It's going to work, I think, a little bit differently with Moodle at the college level.
Okay.
I know we use Moodle sometimes at our university for language courses to record like the different languages. So depending on your recording devices, if somebody's working remote or something, that'd be pretty cool for musical instruments or something like that. But yeah.
Where are you from, Caitlin?
I'm from the University of Regina up in Saskatchewan, Canada.
Probably a little warm here for you.
It is way too warm here for me. I definitely prefer the minus 40 Celsius than, well, actually it's the same in Celsius and Fahrenheit, but I definitely prefer that over the heat.
I lived 10 years in Alaska, so I feel you.
Yeah.
But, oh, wow.
Yeah, I work as a technology training specialist, so I create a lot of training courses. I help instructors with their courses and a million other things, but I definitely am really enjoying this conference. I probably will hopefully be able to come back next year, but I really like the conversations that you get in with the people. Like, first day I was here, I sat down and I was, like, talking to people. I'm like, what do you do for this? And I really love running ideas off of each other, so that's been a really good joy.
That's awesome. Am I supposed to?
Yep, you're last.
What? I thought I went.
What are you enjoying about the conference?
Oh, where are you from?
Where are you from? What's your name?
My name is Mara, and I'm from Lubbock Christian University. And so far what I've been enjoying is getting to hear what other people, are, what their solutions are to some things in Moodle, because not every software is perfect.
Okay. This is why we love it here.
And that's why this is good.
We're in a mix here at Mountain Moot Event. My name is Mr. Barry, and I have to my right.
I am Leslie Johnson. I'm the instructional designer at the University of Montana Western.
Nice to meet you. And to my left here,
Tyler Krell, and I am actually in sales, but was a longtime Mootineer, so just joining the weekend and saying hi to old faces.
So let's go ahead and just talk about Out of the Mountain Moot. Have been, like, as far as sessions, events, just social gatherings. What has been kind of the highlight for you guys as we kind of near the end of this Mountain Moot and look forward to the next Mountain Moot in 2025?
I'm going to let Sergio take this. I feel like... Yeah.
This is my first Mountain Moot. And for me, the hallmark is meeting nice people as my partners here, the best of the best. So this is the best part of Mountain Moot.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's the really cool thing about this is you've got all these people. I mean, you've got people who, you know, are LMS administrators, instructional designers, instructional technologists, faculty. And so we all have these different perspectives when we talk about pedagogy and how things work together. And so it's just a fantastic place to just learn stuff from our professional development sessions. But then on the flip side, like when we go to social events and things like that, being able to just talk informally about how our lives are doing. And then also, you know, shoot the breeze too with different things that we're doing to be innovative in our classrooms that just allow us to just brainstorm and collaborate. So I'm a huge fan of the Mountain Moot for that experience as well.
I agree. I think both of you guys have really hit the nail. I think the sense of community when you join the Moot is like one of the biggest draws here. I love that, like, you know, a lot of people who coordinate and organize these sorts of things, they really want like a lot of like bolstering. And I think the group of people that coordinate and put this together really are like your guides on the side, and they just let every single person that walks in the room shine. And so I love that about this experience. Every time I've come, I've only been twice and I plan on making it a tradition, but every time I come, I'm like, oh, yeah. And then newbies, we love the newbies. Mm-hmm. I love that you're here. And we even had some people who returned, like after mm-hmm. they skipped a year and they're coming back and they're in love with the Moot and the sense of community and all the resource sharing that happens informally and formally. It's so neat to see how people just guide and gather.
And I also need to also have a shout out to all of our sponsors too.
Correct.
You know, we've got Moodle HQ that's coming in, mm-hmm. OpenLMS, Marcanix, Brickfield Labs, Carroll College. Like, we have such mm-hmm. amazing sponsors that support this that really make us so we can focus in on that fun aspect as well.
Yeah, it is really like just a testament into how like successful the sponsors feel that this Moot is, that they sponsor almost every year. It's mm-hmm. really cool to watch that happen too. So I don't know how Dan and Rachel and all of them do it. And this year, I think one of the other favorites this year was the student, all the student workers who were so excited. Yep. They were pumped mm-hmm. last night. We were doing karaoke and singing and all of that. And that was really fun. It was cool to see generational gaps be bridged in one space. It was really neat.
And the space was very nice.
Yes.
The new library.
Yeah. So nice. Yeah, Carroll just got its remodel, so a lot of attendees have been able to see the new classrooms, new equipment, and all that stuff. So yeah, definitely in Mountain Moot 2025, plan on it. It's usually the third week in July, with more information at mountainmoot.com.
In a world where 2024 has the best Moodle professional development, we are at the Mountain Moot. Dan Case is our partner in crime and coordinator of all things chaotic. So, having said that, fellas, would you rather have a personal maid or a personal chef?
You know, at the Mountain Moot, most of your food is provided. It's inclusive. So I'm going to go with personal chef because I just love the food at the Mountain Moot. Every year it's going to be different, but the dining hall does amazing, amazing things there. You also have the food trucks every now and then come in. Dan has brought in some delicious pastries every morning. So yeah, personal chef all the way.
Yeah, I feel like the personal chef would also cater to my allergen needs. That's Dan, by the way.
Yeah,
Dan does that.
Dan is the personal chef.
He is the personal chef.
He looks like a personal chef.
Yeah, he looks like he belongs in the kitchen.
I believe he's friend of Andres. Andres, the famous chef.
Bertoli?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, sure.
Jose Andres. Mm-hmm. his personal chef and friend. Yeah.
All right. So on that same note, while we're talking about this, let's go ahead and talk about this other question we have for our guests here. What would you rather eat or
Let me say that again. Would you rather never eat watermelon again or eat watermelon for every meal?
It's a difficult question. Mm-hmm. The question is watermelon or not watermelon?
Yep.
Like Hamlet? Okay, I believe I will eat watermelon every day for every meal. I don't want to lose watermelon. Yeah,
because again, at the Mountain Moot, it gets scorching hot during the summertime. Yeah. And so watermelon every year, that sounds really refreshing.
I feel like if you're eating a watermelon while you go down the ice luge, which is absolutely not a thing here at the Mountain Moot on Friday in the afternoons, you will want to just really be biting down on that and then also hollering at the top of your lungs. So I think I can't say I never want to eat a watermelon because if I'm at the Mountain Moot doing things that shall not be named, then I want some watermelon afterwards.
In fact,
I want to celebrate.
I believe the logo of Mountain Moot should have a watermelon.
Yeah.
It could be a watermelon as a mountain.
Or on the top of the mountain.
Yeah. So the new logo, people confuse that thinking that it's a sun. It's actually just a seedless watermelon.
You're right.
It is. It is. That's exactly it. The things we learn at the Mountain.
Now that we solved the mystery of the watermelon, now let's continue. And hey, guys, would you rather always watch Hallmark Christmas movies or horror movies? This is an important question.
Yeah, really important. I think for me, honestly, I got to go for Hallmark Christmas movies. I'd just be too scared at the Mountain Moot if I was watching horror all the time.
I'm going to have to agree. I think Hallmark Christmas movies is kind of like the magical happy place that people find when they actually attend the Mountain Moot. So I'm going to have to go with Hallmark Christmas movies. Yeah. Mm. No horror movies here. I mean, unless, I don't know, got to just be, there'd just be so many exigent circumstances before I choose that.
So in my case, I love horror movies, so I'll watch a horror movie first. Then I'll watch a Hallmark Christmas movie, which is worse than a horror movie. It's more horrifying. And then I'll come to the Mountain Moot, and then I'll be happy again.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I mean, granted, as long as you're here,
It's like
we
a
can
roller.
Watch whatever movies we want.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yes. And in a world where Mountain Moot does not exist, there is nothing but chaos.
So we're just going to ask the first question here. Would you rather meet your ancestors 4 generations before you or your descendants 4 generations after you?
I think 4 generations after, just because like this amazing room, all the technology advancements and all of the aspects of what it is that they might be able to contribute could be pretty cool to learn from. Looking forward.
I think I would rather meet my ancestors 4 generations before. On my mom's side, they were living in Appalachia during, at the turn of the century or before even. And probably, so I think that would be really interesting just to see what their life was like. And on my dad's side, his family left Weimar, Germany. To escape all the problems of post-World War I 4 generations ago. So I would like to know about that and why they left.
Absolutely. That's all amazing. I think for me personally, 4 generations after, because I want to know what food we're eating. Because agriculture and the issues that we're facing right now, 4 generations after. I want to see if my family was taken care of and the families and ancestors afterwards. So very good answers. Let's keep it going. Would you rather have a personal maid or a personal chef? Ooh.
I thoroughly enjoy cooking, so I'm actually going to go with the personal maid just because the aspect, even though it's just me in the house, keeping it clean at times and keeping it upkept can be a little bit of a challenge, but I do enjoy sitting down and cooking. So
I would have to go with the personal maid as well because I hate cleaning. So, but I love cooking. So, definitely going with the maid.
I'm going to agree. I love cooking, but I hate cleaning. It's making your own food is something special.
I agree.
All right. Would you rather always have B.O. but not know it or always smell B.O. on others?
I think smelling it on others just because having it constantly would be rather embarrassing, and I don't think I could put up with it. But the smell's not great. However, I would think I'd rather smell it of others.
Okay.
I have to go with smelling it on others, too.
Yeah, that would be very bad if I had BO. And no, oh, yeah, I'll have to smell it on others. Anyways, we already do smell it on others.
That is true. Would you rather always watch Hallmark Christmas movies or horror movies?
Oh, I'd have to watch horror movies. I think that is incredibly less painful than Hallmark love story movie after Hallmark love story movie after Hallmark with the same plot.
Yeah, I'm in agreeance. And Hallmark movies have a time and place once a year. We can tolerate it. Or maybe twice, depending on a holiday. But horror movies are always classics. I mean,
that's fair.
Even funny horror movies.
I'm going to go against both of you on this one and just say that I'd have to go with the Christmas movie only because I'm a scaredy cat. Like, horror movies, I can't watch them. I mean, they just freak me out a little bit too much, so I can't quite do it. All right. Would you rather never eat watermelon again or eat watermelon for every meal?
Ooh. I would probably have to go with never eating watermelon again because of a childhood incident that involved me eating a whole watermelon, then running home, and you can just use your imagination from there on out.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with never again. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think I'm going to agree with both of you on this one. As long as I still can have other fruits, I'm all right with that. Right. If it was no fruits, then I would struggle for sure, but I agree.
Final question. Would you rather stay forever the way you are right now physically or stay forever the way you are right now financially?
That is a tough one. I would have to go physically because you can't get your youth back. Financials, that's determined based off of your innovation, your intuition, your drive to achieve more. So
I'm actually 100% in line with you on that one, so I'm not even going to add anything because I agree 100% for that one.
Oh, boy. I would have to go with financially. I made the stupid mistake of moving back to Montana in the pandemic, right at when, and then made the ultra stupid decision of building a house in Dillon, Montana, where you can't get supplies, you can't get everything. So, bad financial decisions. Great for my mental health, bad financial. I can deal with getting older. I've been inhabiting for a long time now.
Yeah. Where were you at before you moved back to Montana?
Lansing, Michigan.
Nice. Okay, cool.
Loved it there, but definitely missed Montana.
Yeah. Were you in the Dillon region before you left? Or
No, I did grad school in Bozeman.
Oh, nice. Cool.
So a job came up in Dillon, and I loved the block scheduling and the focus on teaching. And
yeah, that's awesome.
Went for it.
What about you, Michael? Where are you from?
I'm from St. Louis, Missouri.
Missouri. All right.
I do live across the bridge in Illinois, but it's just easy to say St. Louis. Been there all my life, except for a small stint of 5 years when I went in the Marines.
Okay.
So, home sweet home.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Thanks for sharing. Well, I think we're at time, yeah?
Yes. Yep. It's been great getting to know you all. Until the next Mount Moot. Whoosh.
Big sky, small world,
thank you for tuning in to this episode of Big Sky Small World. Music provided by Carroll alumnus and current admissions guru, Alex Coulter. Follow us on Instagram at bigsky.smallworld. Tune in every Tuesday for an episode of the show. See ya.